Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sign Guy back with you here on another Sunday afternoon. Some show notes if you're looking for wrestling today. SPW in Sacramento, California. PBPW in Tampa, Florida. RCPW in Rome, Georgia. PWCS in Alton, Illinois. KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. XWE in Salina, Kansas, SCW in Kiln, Mississippi, Northeast Wrestling in Wappingers Fall, New York, Old Wrestling in Norwalk, Ohio, you have CCW in York, Pennsylvania, ACW in Austin, Texas, TASW in Houston, Texas, which I believe is still ongoing. Check on the situation there if you're in that area. And also up here in our neck of the woods, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, where I'll be later this afternoon in Portland, Oregon. And I believe our guest is with us. We have Miss Ronnie Nicole with us.
Hello, yes, I'm here. Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. And since today's the first time you've been on our particular show, we'll give you our traditional first-timers question to start off with. What led to you getting into the professional wrestling business?
A lot of things. You know, I used to say that it was my cousins who were older who did amateur wrestling and scholastic wrestling. I used to say that it was, you know, me being involved in entertainment at a young age, you know, but I think it has just been destiny and fate and all of those things coming together to make this a possibility for myself. you know, all of those things contributed to it, but honestly, it's just as time goes by, beginning to feel more like this was destiny and was fate for me. So I know that sounds kind of, you know, cosmic and cheesy, but that's definitely what it's starting to feel like.
Now, on our show this month, we have been celebrating Gouge. All of our guests have been from the roster of Gouge Pro Wrestling, where, of course, you are the current reigning and defending Gouge Women's Champion. Can you tell us a little on how it came to be that you were affiliated with Gouge?
So one of my trainers, former NWA National Champion Lou Marconi, was affiliated with Gouge through some of the other members of Gouge who kind of were there at the beginning of the organization itself as it morphed from, if I'm not mistaken, SWA into Gouge Wrestling. So, you know, Seymour Snott and Otto Schwanz, all of them were the staples of Gouge, you know, as and of course Count Grog, as Gouge was formed. And so when he was working for them, I would go to shows, you know, as a trainee and watch and do my young girl duties. And, you know, as it went along and I was allowed to start helping out and doing different things, the opportunity came for me to work with them. And I built a relationship with Grog and with the guys in the locker room. And I came to the point where you know, I got the opportunity to be a regular, and it was very, it's very fun and different and rewarding. You know, Gouge is definitely a place where they take wrestling a little more easy, and it kind of harkens back to the days where everyone was an over-the-top character, and it's there to entertain and delight rather than to be technical and, you know, so intricate. And so it's really fun to be able to go and wrestle with these guys and, you know, bring some of that, I would say, carny wrestling back to the wrestling climate of today.
Now, you have held that championship for quite some time, and currently also in Gouge, there are other great champions, Timmy Lou Retton, the heavyweight champion there. He's been doing great things. Jimmy Jack Funk Jr., the North Carolina champion. My last report had Jacob Hammermeyer as the Spaceman Frank Hickey Scientific Wrestling Trophy winner. A lot of great talent holding titles right now in Gouge. Do you think that maybe the promotion underrated as far as the actual talent that is on that roster because of them being gimmicks only, underground grappling entertainment, and people looking at it as more the gimmicks rather than looking past that and seeing what the talent is beneath the gimmick?
I do, you know, especially when you mention the current heavyweight champion, Timmy Lou Retton, current, but I'm not sure for how long. you know, when you mention his name and you see him on NXT, you know, and then people kind of, oh, Gouge, yeah. You know, it's there's a disconnect there, I think. And I truly believe that everybody, you know, starting out comes through these organizations, and it's they're these little pearls and these nuggets of talent that, you know, are not seen by everyone. And it's such a shame because there's so much great wrestling that goes on. And if people are in the area, it doesn't take a lot to hop in the car and come check out some people who are really, you know, putting their lives on the line to entertain you and do it in such a unique and creative way. And, you know, Timmy's amazing. Big shout out to him. He's got 18 belts right now. I don't even know how many, you know, or who he's champion for except for Gouge. So, you know, but, you know, big shout out to him. Yeah. And it's definitely amazing to be able to see the evolution of all of the champions through Gouge and how we've all kind of started and worked our way out and keep coming back, you know, to Gouge as kind of a home base and still representing that well.
You mentioned one of our guests from this month. He was the first guest during Gouge month here on Turnbuckle Turmoil, Seymour Snot. He's been a staple with the company since the beginning. He trained in California alongside the likes of Great Khali, Samoa Joe, and John Cena, to name a few. Might be one of the more underrated performers in all of the industry right now. Have you had much of a chance to team up with Seymour Snot or maybe do a little bit of training with him?
I actually have not ever had the opportunity to wrestle with Seymour. And, you know, everyone looks at the geek with the physique gimmick and they think, oh, you know, just a guy doing a nerdy gimmick, but he is a tremendous wrestler, you know. And all of those names that you mentioned, yeah, he trained, you know, with Samoa Joe and Cena. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you know, he was very, very, very prominent and with those guys, you know. And so he's got the chops to be in the ring. So no, I actually haven't had the opportunity to do that, but I have been in the ring with him as he's been training some of his other trainees, you know, and I respect him. He is Timmy Lou Retton's trainer and coach and mentor. And, you know, I have the utmost respect for him. And that's actually kind of funny because that's how Timmy and I met through wrestling, was through our trainers, because they were both going to a show and we were the trainees, you know, in the backseat, just wide-eyed kids looking for an opportunity, you know, and I've been wrestling a couple years prior or more than Timmy. And, you know, so of course I'm in the back seat trying to act like I'm a vet, even though I'm not, you know, I'm still green as baby poo and I don't know, you know, a wrist lock from a headlock, but I'm trying to, like, you know, talk to this kid. But at the same time, we're having the same feeling, you know, that we're just getting to follow these two great guys and see how they tell stories and, you know, see what we can learn from them in order to build our own legacy in wrestling. And so it's really amazing how small the world is. But, yeah, Seymour is such a great guy, and big shout-out to him. And, you know, we actually have a show coming up on September the 9th at Ruby Deluxe in Raleigh. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing him again and seeing everybody at Gouge and seeing everybody who's listening, who's in the area, to please come out to the show. It is a part of the Hopscotch Music Festival day party, so it's going to get kind of rowdy. So make sure you be there. I'm defending the championship, and I'll be wrestling Jinx Hunter, who is a new, fresh face on the scene with a lot of pizzazz and sass and thinks she's going to get an opportunity, but we all know how that goes. So.
Absolutely. Now, hopefully, the next time I happen to be a Gouge, you will be defending the championship, because the last time I went out there, you were not on the show, and I was a little sad for that.
Oh, no. Now, was it because I was in Japan, or was I just not on that show? Do you remember?
I believe you just weren't on that show. I think you were booked somewhere else, because Japan hadn't quite happened yet when I was out there. Oh, hopefully our schedules work out. We'll be on the same Gouge show at some point. But speaking of Japan, though, you had a very successful tour over there. You were doing some very good things over there. There was a lot of buzz on that Japan tour you did. What was the experience like for you going from wrestling all over the United States, being one of the top female competitors on the independent circuit here, to getting to Japan and wrestling against some of their best competitors?
It's actually been a couple tours, so each experience has been a little bit different. You know, just Japan has always been somewhere that my heart is. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were asking me, you know, how I was doing and how things were. And I was like, you know, I'm glad to be home. I love being able to be back with my family and my friends. And but I definitely have a home and a heart that is Japanese. And they were like, yeah, girl. It was just so funny because of the way they said it. It was kind of like something they knew before I actually knew it. But, you know, that's been somewhere that I've really looked to in terms of my career as inspiration. A lot of the women there have kind of helped make me into Ronnie Big Bang Nicole, and it's still evolving, and I'm still growing and changing with that. But, you know, Japan is a place that it has to be experienced. People hit me up a lot, and they ask me about it, and truly, I feel like if it's something that's not in your heart, if it's something that you just want to do because it's cool and everybody goes there, then it's probably not going to be what you think. It's amazing because of the wrestling and because of the fans, yes, but Japan in and of itself is just such a place where you can learn and grow so much as an individual as well as a wrestler. And I think that if it's in your heart to go there with that open mind and experience that and not just for the hype and for the glory, it takes a lot and it gives you so much more. And it's so rewarding. You know, the training regimen is very different. First time going, the training regiment almost killed me. Second time was not as bad because I knew what to expect. It was still bad, but it was definitely not as bad as when I first arrived and was calling my mom every day and telling her I wanted to come home because it was hard and I was dying, you know, but I would have to get up and do it the same thing the very next day, you know, getting used to that whole 6-day work cycle as opposed to a, you know, here in the States, a 5-day, 2-day off kind of work cycle. That's always an adjustment, but realistically, if you are a wrestler, you are working 24/7, or you should be. You know, this is something that is consistent, whether you're doing the marketing side, you know, whether you're doing the networking side, or whether you're actually doing the physical side where you're training or working shows or, you know, trying to get your body in peak physical condition. So, it's definitely something that I really hold dear to my heart in terms of what it was able to give me and is what I was able to get out of it. You know, as I said, the fans are amazing. my last three shows there for this past tour were at the Kawasaki Race Course Velodrome, which is bicycle racing, which is really cool. You have these cyclists going around really fast, and we had wrestling out there, and there were some fans who I'd never seen before. It's cool because you'll see fans at all of these shows, whether you're going to the show as a fan or wrestling on the show or a second for your company, but you'll begin to notice the same people over and over. So you begin to build a bond, you know, just as you do here. But in Japan, it's a little different, especially because of the language barrier, you know, and I'm a foreigner. So it's definitely surprising when you have people who recognize you and they want to speak with you and, you know, they're excited to see you or they comment on, you know, something they saw you do. It's really humbling and it's really, you know, lovely to get that feedback. But at this 3-day thing that Deanna did for the bike race course, there were fans there that I had never met before, and we were packing up the ring. It was a mad dash because we had to be out by a certain time because they shut these giant lights off on a timer. And so we're rushing against the timer to get the ring broken down. And all of these fans come up to me, and they're like, when are you coming back to Japan? And I was like, oh, very soon, you know. But I hope to see you guys, you know, when I get back. Please keep up with me on Facebook. And they were like, please come back. We love you so much. We followed your career. And I didn't – these weren't familiar fans to me. There were a few who I knew in the group, but these were new people, and it was just so overwhelming. I just started to cry because I was just so grateful, you know, that these people had received me so warmly and, you know, really kept up with what I had been doing and were really concerned about how I love Japan and how Japan was treating me. You know, it's amazing. And, you know, fans will bring you gifts and they want to take you to dinner and they, you know, they ask you about your family and it's just so great and kind, you know, and it just makes you feel very loved. And now in the same turn, if you're not kind of what they're looking for, they'll let you know as well in the most polite way possible. You know, Japanese people are some of the most polite people in terms of how they let you know about their discomfort that I've encountered. But, you know, it's definitely, it's an incredible, incredible place. And, you know, it's given me the opportunity to step in the ring with some of the women that I watched on grainy VHS tapes, you know, trying to learn about Japanese wrestling. So it's crazy. I was at Jaguar Yokota's 40th anniversary. It was a modern classic in Corican Hall. 40 years. You know, this woman has been wrestling and just has touched and influenced so many other wrestlers, not just in Japan, but across the world. And I'm ringside during one of the matches. And I recognize that Minami Toyota and Aja Kong and Kyoko Inoue are repeating a spot that they had repeated, that they had done, like, back in the 90s. And the only reason I knew was because it was a match that I had watched over and over and over and had, like, used a couple things. So, yeah, it was a match that I kind of, you know, gotten some stuff from. But I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm here to see these guys. I'm such a dork. These people, these amazing women repeat this spot like they're us, you know. And I'm, you know, a kohai, a lowly indie girl, and I'm looking up to these women, and they're just in the locker room, you know, joking and laughing, and so cool to get to see that and never thinking I would ever go to Japan and have the opportunity. It's just those little things that make it so special to have those tiny interactions. And, you know, Korakuen Hall itself is a building rich with history, just as the Tokyo Dome is and some of the other amazing venues around Japan. So it's definitely one of those places when you walk into it, you can get that emotional response because of the energy and because of the history that's been there. And it's such a great juxtaposition because you're in a place so rich with history, but then you'll have, you know, these great modern guys go out and tear the house down and bring that new style of wrestling to this crowd. So it's just great. It's wonderful. I can talk about Japan all day. Anything you want to know.
Well, it's this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that he also has some questions for you, so I'm going to pass things over to QT for a bit.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Sonny. Hello, Ronnie.
Hi, how are you, QT?
I'm doing very good. Ronnie, I was going to man the switchboard today. In fact, I am now. I did not know if Sign Guy was going to be back in time, so I wrote out your introduction. If in case Sign Guy did not get back in time, he did, so he introduced you. However, I spent quite a bit of time on your introduction. For the first time in the history on the show, can I read you the second introduction?
Absolutely. It would be my honor. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Keeping in mind that a Sun Guy did return in time. Okay. But I put a lot of work into this. Okay. And at the end of this, could I have you rate this introduction? We've never had an introduction be rated before. Yes. If you could.
Absolutely. I will totally do that.
Okay. Here we go. Hello, all you Turnbuckle fans. QT with you on another Sunday morning, manning the ship, while Sign Guy will be joining us later. Sign Guy attended Rose City Wrestling in Oregon last night or evening, so tune in to his Facebook page for flash results. Joining us today is female wrestler Ronnie Nicole, perhaps better known as Big Bang Ronnie Nicole. For those of you that are into astronomy or physics, or maybe even both, the term Big Bang can mean a lot of things. I myself believe the universe started with a Big Bang, or what can be described as a single musical note. After seeing her on video in the ring, though, I cannot describe Ronnie as a single musical note, but rather a complex sonata played by the likes of Franz Liszt or perhaps Vladimir Horowitz. Ronnie Nicole, welcome to the show.
Wow, QT, like that was absolutely tremendous. Okay, so I don't even have a number scale because that was probably the best introduction I've ever heard. So thank you, for one. For two, if I have to rate this and give this marvelous introduction an actual rating, but it's not going to be a number, I'm going to have to say that this is bunnies, kittens, and puppies joining together to slide down a rainbow into a pool of gummy bears. So that is my feeling. I don't know how you could equate that to maybe a star rating, maybe 8 stars. No, it's a 4 star. Okay, so 4 stars, all the baby animals into the gummy pool. That was phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Wow, this is, well, Sign Guy does like gummy bears. That's good. Okay, got that going for me.
And you all right. In there, it's amazing because I love lists. So I'm kind of a nerd. Well, my mom made me listen to a lot of classical music growing up. So, but yeah, so that took me over the top. So thank you. That was awesome.
Wow. All right. That's fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, Ronnie, I saw your YouTube video entitled "Big Bang Nicole versus Kyoto Ivan Inovi." I think you mentioned her before.
Kyoko.
Yes?
Yes, Kyoko Inovu.
Oh, Inovu. Okay. Okay. And that was published on June 5th of this year. What struck me was after the introduction of Kyoko, there was a brief period where her entrance music faded, and then it became dead quiet, except you could hear a baby crying. In all my years of YouTube watching, wrestling, and viewing, This was the quickest a crowd had quieted down after a wrestler was introduced. It was like a kid turning down his stereo after a parent barged into his room and told him to turn off a Bay City Roller record at 2 in the morning in 1975. Yes. And well, your thoughts on how quick to quiet this Japanese crowd was? How quick to quiet?
That's actually kind of a normal occurrence for the smaller venue shows, at least in my experience there. Everyone is very in tune with what's happening. You know, Japanese crowds by default are very different from American crowds. I'm not sure if people realize that there is a track playing over a lot of the Japanese wrestling that you see, because the crowds are not always like that. I have been in some crowds that have been very rowdy and explosive and noisy, but for the most part, Japanese crowds are very quiet and respectful. Now, if they see something that astounds them, of course, it's going to build to that crescendo that you would see, you know, at a WWE show or any large other Fed show. But that's that's definitely kind of normal for one of those crowds. And that was actually a home show. And so it is a more intimate setting, which I really like, because the crowd is maybe at max in that safely in that building, you could get 150 people. And so, you know, it's a really, really tight and it's very intimate, and it's a Sunday afternoon, and, you know, families are there. So that's probably why you hear children, because it's something that everybody kind of grows accustomed to doing on Sundays once or twice a month. And, you know, yeah, so that's pretty normal. But there are some other videos where you'll hear the crowd, and they're definitely not they're definitely not silent by a long shot. They've got, you know, they'll catcall, they'll heckle you in English or Japanese, you know, depending on who you are. So it's case by case, but that is kind of normal, yeah.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, at the two-minute mark of the video, and this is also an observation on this quietness, the announcer had just got done introducing you, and your music faded, and the clapping died down. It went from loud to dead quiet in about 6 seconds. In fact, it was so quiet that you could hear the referee's footsteps as he approached you to check for foreign objects. Was this the first time you heard the referee's footsteps as he approached you to step to check for foreign objects? His footsteps.
No. That was definitely not the first time.
Oh, okay. I myself thought he had squeaky insoles. That's what I thought. Oh. Squeaky insoles.
No, that wasn't the first time, but you know, and it's kind of funny because that referee is also the business administrator or business executive, business secretary. I'm not really sure what his title would translate to over here for World Women Pro Wrestling, Deanna. And in the dojo, he's very heavy-footed. So I would always know when it was him coming in because of that. So I don't even know if that has anything to do with boots. It may just be how he walks, because for such a light and thin gentleman, he's got quite the step.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, that was a hard-fought victory. It took you until the 18-minute and 35-second mark of the match to gain the three-fall. Kyoko was indeed a worthy opponent. My question is, did you scout her on video before the match so you had a game plan? And I think I just answered my question. I believe you had. Yes.
Yes. Kyoko Inoue is the president of World Women Pro Wrestling, Deanna. So that means she's one of the staple members of the staff as well as wrestlers. So I knew that we would be having a match, and having watched her and her being someone that I really admire in wrestling, it is always, no matter how, you know, much I see her or I'm around her, it is always something that's very breathless and anxiety causing for me, because I don't want to ever have a bad match with her. And so I have studied her since I was 12, 14, maybe. So, you know, all of her match, not all, but most of her matches I have seen. I have a notebook full of just stuff about her. When I was in high school, for my junior photos, my color scheme for outside of what we had to wear as our, what was going to be in yearbook was for, was yellow and red. I wanted to have a little face paint, but my mom vetoed that very quickly because she didn't understand it and because she wanted pictures that she said that were suitable to hand out to family members. But, you know, so yes, she has been someone who I have studied from her crazy matches on buses and, you know, to her hardcore stuff. She's definitely somebody who both inside and out of the ring that I really admire. And she's got such a huge heart. She's a wonderful mentor. She's somebody who that really wants you to understand and learn and be comfortable. And that's one thing I can truly say is that she really went out of her way in Deanna to make sure that I was comfortable and that I was happy. You know, and I'm always and will always be ever grateful for that.
Well, so let me get this straight. Your mom would not let you put on face paint for your junior year in high school yearbook photo?
Well, she thought I meant full face paint in her defense, but I was just thinking maybe like something cute on my cheek, you know, kind of like a little, almost like a face tattoo you would see a cheerleader have. But she didn't really go for that so much, but I wanted to pay homage somehow. So I did the color scheme, which was about as close as I could get at that time. But yeah, she was my mom's not a big wrestling fan, so anything that's really dealing with wrestling she's not rocking with too hot. Although she's a huge Dusty Rhodes fan, which always blows me out of the water when she'll randomly talk about him, and I kind of look at her like, oh my gosh, I forgot that you actually do know about wrestling. You're just not a big fan of it.
Wow, I think your mom would be pretty intrigued and humored by my junior year in high school, my photo. I kind of look like Napoleon Dynamite.
Delightful.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, so good.
Now, you,
in
contrast, this match with your YouTube video where you were wrestling a lady named Dynamite Diva, and the crowd was much more boisterous, and the announcer said that Dynamite Diva was from Richmond, Virginia. My question is, have you yourself been to Richmond, Virginia?
I have been to Richmond. I've been to and through Virginia quite often. Haven't actually wrestled in Virginia, unfortunately. That's an opportunity I haven't had, which is strange considering how close in proximity I am, but I ended up going to West Virginia instead of just Virginia. But yes, I've been to Richmond and a few other places through there. So it's a very, very beautiful place. Shout out to High Volume Pro Wrestling in Kinston, which is where that match took place. And yes, that was definitely a rowdy crowd. You know, they were, even though she was not from North Carolina or from that area, they were definitely very much behind her during that match and wanted to see her get the victory. But, you know, they didn't have so much love for me, and they definitely were very vocal about it. But, you know, I can't say that it bothers me. I thrive and I live off of that adversity and that energy that they give me. So it was definitely a fun match and a good experience there in Kinston. I think that's Cole Cashdy who's running things there. So big shout out to him in that locker room.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. Very nice. All right. Well, in that match with Dynamite Diva, the announcer said that you were from Houston, Texas. Have you been keeping up with the news about Hurricane Harvey and the torrential rain it has been dumping?
Yes, yes. I am from Houston originally, and I actually still have family in Texas, so I've been monitoring everything there very closely. You know, I'm sending my thoughts and prayers out to everyone there and affected for now and the future, you know, because even after the storm is gone, there's still going to be a lot of repair and a lot of things that need to be done. And, you know, my heart goes out to my home because I wish I could be there right now to be with my family there and to make sure they're okay. You know, they're sending photos and the water is rising quite rapidly. And, you know, they're okay, but there's some people very close to them who are starting to see the results of all the rain and whatnot. So, you know, thoughts and prayers are with them and everyone there. It's what can you do, you know, when it's a natural disaster? You know, there's no one you can blame in that instance. So you just have to strap down and really send that in that positive energy up so that it can take hold and really make the situation better as time goes on.
Now, were you a big fan of the Hurricane Gregory Helms and also wrestling partner Molly Holly?
Well, I liked your segue there. Yeah, you know, I'm definitely a Helms fan. You know, I actually was kind of earning my stripes at Omega Wrestling, you know, which is his brainchild with the Hardys. And my training facility was the one where they used the ring rental. And so I definitely was able to see and get to experience the Hurricane up close and learn from him in terms of the business side and see how, you know, it is to run an organization and kind of learn from him in terms of how to be a good entertainer and evolve in the way that wrestling does, you know. And so, yeah, definitely. I'm still tripping off your segue. Great job.
Yes. Sanjay says I often do that. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Lovely.
Well, the announcer said that you were the She-Hawk from the South. What did he mean by the term She-Hawk?
Yes. So when I was a few years ago, I was under a different gimmick. I was going as the She-Hulk of the South. I don't know if you're familiar with She-Hulk from the comics, but that was what I was patterning myself after because of my power style and that in real life I'm kind of a quieter, chill individual. But once I'm in the ring, I'm a monster. And so I definitely felt that I connected with that character from the comics. And so, yes, I was billed as the She-Hulk of the South, you know, because I will always be proud of my Southern roots. And, I personally think Southern women are the best women in the world. And, I love the way that I was able to merge those two things that were really dear to me to create that idea. So there was She-Hulkamania and, you know, my gear had She-Hulkamania across it. And, you know, my color scheme was purple and green. And I kind of named some of my moves after things that were significant to She-Hulk. It was definitely a fun training gimmick, I would say. That's when I was kind of testing the waters of who I wanted to be as a wrestler and was kind of trying to feel my way through what I was going to do in terms of cutting my teeth in this sort of entertainment. You know, I would have to say that my wrestling style and the characters and the gimmicks that I have chosen thus far are really niche, you know. I'm not going to be a high flyer. I'm not your, you know, diva in terms of what you would consider a diva of the past, because, you know, WWE is no longer using that term. But, you know, I'm a different sort of female wrestler, and I'm finding ways within the characters that I portray to really embrace that. So, yeah, that was definitely a fun time and experience.
Oh, now let me see. I'm slowly getting up there in age, so my hearing might not be super good, but was it She-Hawk or She-Hulk?
She-Hulk, so H-U-L-K.
Oh. Damn. See, I thought the announcer said She-Hawk, and I was going to ask you if this was because of your high-flying aerial attack.
No. I am not much of a high flyer, and anyone who knows me very well knows I am not a great jumper, which is so funny because I was a cheerleader, and so you would think that I have better leg power, but, you know, I'm more of a ground wrestler. So if you need me to base for your lucha stuff, or if you, you know, need somebody who's going to hit you with some more power moves or power or strength attack, I'm definitely your girl. But I'm not the high flyer. I think that the top, I've done maybe one or two top rope things and maybe a second rope, but I leave that to the high flying professional.
Oh, wait, yeah, now you see, my next thing was I thought that the announcer was comparing you to 1970s basketball great Connie the Hawk Hawkins, who was the original high flyer even before Dr. J and Michael Jordan.
No. But so funny how a little misunderstanding went like a totally different way, because I would have never even had that comparison. But yeah, that's cute. You were delightful. I really enjoy you. But no, it's She-Hulk. Not She-Hawk, but you've started to get my wheels turning on a future gimmick. I'm going to keep that under wraps for now, but thank you for that in advance.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. All right. Now, my next question was, would your fans say your aerial attack was more like a parakeet or a peregrine falcon? Yes, that was the next
Well, if I was going to have an aerial attack, it would definitely be a falcon. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Ronnie, are you familiar with another lady wrestler from the Virginia area named Casey Carlisle?
I am, yes. I'm familiar with Casey. I actually have worked with her on a few occasions. I think our most recent would have been at WVCW a couple years back in West Virginia.
Oh, all right. Now, do you think that she has a high aerial attack like a peregrine falcon?
You know, I would have to say that Casey's style is also more of a grounded style. She's old school, definitely to the core. So, you know, I'm not so sure about her aerial attack, but her old school defense is definitely there.
Okay, all right. Now, do you think the Japanese crowds would be a little more boisterous if you had faced the Dynamite Diva in Japan, or if you were a tag team partner of hers and you faced two Japanese women wrestlers?
You know, I'm not so sure, because it never really crossed my mind to think of it in terms of if the match was different versus the actual culture of Japanese wrestling. So what I mean is that over in Japan, they kind of look at wrestling differently. Here in the States, if you are a wrestler, 9 times out of 10, if you are not on WWE or with one of the larger feds, you're going to get, do you know John Cena? Oh, that's a hobby. Are you serious? You know, so people don't really look at it as you have a credible profession here in the States, unless you are with one of those larger feds. So it does take time. It's kind of like you're doing your residency with wrestling, is how I have to explain it to some people. You know, you have to put those years in on the independent as well as the international scene, so that when you get to that larger fed, you have that experience as well as you've built your base. And, you know, people know who you are, so you've built that reputation. But in Japan, when you say I'm a professional wrestler there, you get, oh, sugoi ne, which means, oh, good, wow. You know, it's an exclamation, a positive exclamation. So it's more of they view it as every place has kind of their own professional team. So wrestling is integrated into the culture there so much so that regardless of what the match is going to be, that reverence and respect plays into how the Japanese crowds view the wrestling as well. So I'm not entirely sure that if the match would make a difference, but you're always going to have, you know, those members of Japanese society who still have that reverence for Japan, to the fact that it makes them an already, you know, kind of quiet, demure culture, but even more so until they see something that physically gives them that emotional response or reaction. But, you know, it would be awesome to have the opportunity to have, you know, more beautiful powerhouses from the States there, you know. But in Japan, I was able to work with some great girls who are definitely akin to Dynamite Diva and akin to me in size and style of wrestling. So, you know, I've had my share of kind of slobber knockers, so to speak, you know, similarly, being there.
Yes, a pivotal moment in Japanese history was when women's wrestler Mildred Burke made the first women's appearance in the ring in Japan many decades ago, and she held herself against a male wrestler and actually threw him to the mat. The Japanese had never seen anything like that, and it was a pioneering moment for the women's movement in Japan. Mildred Burke.
Absolutely, and I, you are such a wellspring of information. Like, I would not have expected anybody to actually know or bring that up. But, you know, yeah, she's definitely amazing. And I think WWE, didn't they do her, wasn't she like an inductee as a legacy, I think? Am I not?
Yes.
Is that true? Yeah. You know, and she, you know, people look to Mae Young and Moolah, but, you know, she was one who really started, and I knew about only because she was one of the few women who started out in the 30s wrestling men, and that's how I started, you know. When I was coming up, there weren't women in the area, so I was one of the girls who always wrestled the guys, and I would show up with one of my trainers, and they would speak to the promoter and say, you know, I've got my trainee here, and they'd look at me and she's a girl. Yeah, I know. Put her in the ring, you know? So I really held that in such a high esteem. And the fact that she, you know, was, what was it? 10 years, 15 years. She held the NWA Women's Championship.
Yes.
It may have been longer than that. Wasn't it longer than that?
No, I think that was right around the time, yes, the length of time.
Yeah, you know, so I always thought that was really, really amazing. But, yeah, it's definitely one of the places where you can get away with that also, because I have noticed that, you know, Japan is a place that will accept that type of thing more so than when I was starting out in the South. Yes, intergender wrestling is picking up steam, but even on Facebook, you know, I'll still see people posting about their dislike or they're not really, you know, saying anything negative about it, but they just don't have the appeal for it. But I have also, you know, encountered some more love for that type of wrestling in Japan as well. You know, I was fortunate to have a few intergender matches there, so it was really fun and different, you know, so very cool.
Well, Ronnie, are there any truth to the rumors that you once had a valet mascot like the British Bulldogs had in the Bulldog Matilda? It was rumored that you had an animal mascot.
No, I do not currently. And I, unless they're referring to my Chihuahua, Paco, who I love and adore and do wish I could take on the road with me, but I don't know. There are no truth to that rumor. Although, if anyone knows of a good mascot that I could have, I'm open to suggestions. The more creative, the better.
Oh, well, here in the Northwest, I've had several people express the wish that you could come to the ring with a piranha in a goldfish bowl. A piranha.
A piranha?
Yes.
Huh.
A piranha.
Well, I'm not sure if I could safely transport him, but I will definitely put it on my short list. And I'll get back to you guys if I do decide to pick up a traveling animal mascot. I'll definitely let Turnbuckle know first.
Oh, very good. Okay, nice. Okay. Well, Ronnie, since you like the Japanese culture so much and wrestling there, have you ever considered changing your name to Ronnie the Divine Wind Nicole? It's kind of like a kamikaze style, Divine Wind.
No, I hadn't thought of that. You know, a lot of things have crossed my mind in terms of expressing my love for Japan and Japanese culture. I'm definitely staying away from getting Japanese-themed tattoos, you know. But, no, I had not thought of that. Currently, it's just International Headhunter, which isn't, you know, as beautiful and Japanese-y as the Divine Wind, but... But no, thank you, QT, because that's actually a really cool idea. I could get it on the back of a kimono or something as well, which would probably look really pretty. So, yeah, good idea. I'm telling you, I think you and I are going to be really good friends because you're full of great suggestions and history, and you are just a delight. And I'm really enjoying being on the show. Thank you guys again for having me because it's being such a wonderful experience.
Oh, no, that's no problem. No problem at all. Okay. Well, you know, now, Ronnie, sometimes on those long road trips in the lower 48 where you have to drive 6 hours, and especially after you have eaten Taco Bell, that the Divine Wind is truly a nickname that can come into play, Divine Wind. Yes.
Well, I think my circumstance would be more related to protein and, you know, Timmy Lou can attest, and others who've ridden in the car with me, I don't know if they would describe my wind as divine at that point.
Oh, okay.
Just the God. Nature of the game, guys.
All right. Well, Ronnie, one last question before I turn it back over to Sign Guy. To your knowledge, do they have deep-fried seaweed in Japan?
To my knowledge, I did not experience any deep fried seaweed, but you know what? I'm sure that somewhere in Japan they do have it, or tempura seaweed or something along those lines. But you know what? It's definitely a place where you can find the most unique and creative food and the most delicious food. So somewhere out there in the Japan countryside, someone is frying up some seaweed right now, and I'm sure they're enjoying it.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, now I am going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. Keeping in mind, Sign Guy, that somehow I think I have a weak battery on my computer, and I am not showing the dashboard. I have a blank screen, but we have approximately 8 minutes left. Okay. Yes.
All right. Fair enough. Well, Miss Nicole, one of the unfortunate things in professional wrestling is that of injuries. It's just part of the nature of the business. Everybody gets the occasional injury here and there. For the listeners that are out there that have watched you, what are some of the injuries that you've had to overcome in order to entertain those fans?
Yeah, you're totally right. I was told the same thing by my trainers. It's not if you get hurt, it's when. You know, I've had a few broken bones. I have one finger that will never look as elegant as I would like it to, especially since it's my ring finger. But, you know, but broken bones have reset and have healed. I blew out both my knees, my lower back. I have had multiple concussions, which I am ashamed to say that I did not take the proper time at the beginning of my career to let heal. I do take that a lot more seriously now, and I do think that every wrestler and every athlete that is in a concussive sport, they do need to. You know, it's not a joke. It's not something that you can reverse once it's gone too far. And, you know, that's something that we, as wrestlers, we take a hit, we break something, we fracture something, and we bandage it, and we spray some Windex on it, and we keep it moving. And unfortunately, with your brain, you cannot do that. you know, you've got one brain that controls your body, and you don't want to be in your 70s or 80s and not able to recognize your own children or your spouse or, you know, your family, or having other issues that stem from having concussive brain injuries. So, yeah, it's something that I've definitely begun to take more seriously. But I've been very fortunate that there have been very few major injuries. My knees have been the biggest one and required surgery, and I do have to be a little bit careful about that. But as long as I'm, you know, on my gym regimen and doing what I'm supposed to as far as being careful any other time when I'm outside of the ring, I'm good. Nothing injury-wise will or has ever stopped me from a show or doing anything that I needed to accomplish. So I definitely won't let it start. But, yeah, it's dangerous. We risk our lives every time we step into the ring. You know, people have lost their lives in the ring. And so it's definitely very, very important to protect yourself and to protect your opponent and to make sure that every time that you step into the ring that you are keeping that in mind and you're doing the best possible business that you can do in that you're safely, you know, using your abilities for good.
Well, we have just a few minutes left in the show today, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you got, your social medias, upcoming appearances, merchandise, website, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
Well, I definitely want everyone to keep up with me, and thank you guys. I really appreciate you both, you all so much for having me. It's definitely been a fun show and a delightful experience. You guys are so fun. Anybody who's local in the area, like I said, Gouge will be at Ruby Deluxe on Fayetteville Street, and it starts at 1 o'clock. It's for the day party at the Hopscotch Music Festival. There's going to be a ton of amazing artists coming to Hopscotch this year. I'm super excited about it. Please come out and see us. I will be defending the Gouge Women's Championship against Jinx Hunter. I will be the third match, so that means it will be a little bit later in the afternoon. More details about that will be posted on my Facebook page. Speaking of my Facebook page, please hop over there and give it a like. It is Ronnie Nicole/Big Bang Nicole, or you can do the at symbol, Ronnie Big Bang Nicole, and it should come up. Please give me a like and check out all of my stuff. I have my blog, which I'm doing exclusively in Japanese so that I can practice my Japanese. So you guys, please check that out, and you can keep up with everything on that end. And a big domo arigato to all of my Japanese fans. I miss you guys and love you so much. I will see you guys very soon. And check me out on Instagram at Glitterlicious Fierce. My Twitter is at Glitterlicious. Unfortunately, I'm not accepting anybody else on my private page at this time, so please make sure that you are a fan of my like page, and I'll be making a public personal page, if that makes sense, very soon, so be on the lookout for that link attached to my fan page. And check me out at about.me.com/Ronnie Nicole. My YouTube is Ronnie Big Bang Nicole. Please subscribe. I will actually be starting a What Will Ronnie Do in a few weeks. So more details about that are forthcoming. Really excited. And I've had a pro wrestling t-shirt shop for the longest time with no t-shirts. So t-shirts are coming. All of these things are coming. It's going to be a Ronnie Nicole Big Bang explosion of stuff coming soon. So be on the lookout for that. And for bookings and inquiries about bookings for the remainder of the year or for 2018, you can inbox me or email me at ronnienicolr@gmail.com. I am also taking tag team bookings with the Native Beast, Nyla Rose. And you can email us at RapungiReapers@gmail.com. And I think that is everything right now, guys. And for all my show dates and stuff, please check my page. And, yeah, thank you for having me. This has been so much fun and amazing, and you guys are wonderful. And, yeah, bang, bang.
Okay. Ronnie Nicole, it has been our pleasure to have you on. I wish you the best of luck with continued success in your career. Hopefully our paths will cross the next time I get the privilege to work at Gouge. Hopefully that will be sometime soon, Count Grog. And This concludes Gouge Month here on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Hugely successful month with members of the Gouge roster stopping by. We will be back with you next week. Get out there, support your local wrestling fans if you have anything near you. I'll be in Portland later. Pay-per-view taping for NWA Blue Collar. So if you're in the Northwest, come check us out. And we will talk to you next week.
Yes. Thank you, Ronnie.